The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yotes recounts the conflict between Shimon ben Shetach and his brother-in-law, King Yanai. King Yanai was summoned to court, and he came in and impudently sat down. He took a seat, and Shimon ben Shetach looked at him and said, "King Yanai, stand on your feet. When you're being judged, you cannot sit, you must stand." And on account of this conflict between Shimon ben Shetach and King Yanai, this entire Sanhedrin was punished because of something that resulted from it. And because of that, Chazal were misaking that Malchi Yisrael lo donim osam, that we don't summon evil kings to court, nor do we judge them. The question that is raised is how proper, how appropriate, how consistent with halacha was Shimon ben Shetach's demand that King Yanai stand up. On the one hand, there is a mitzvah in the Torah that says ve'omdu shnei ha'anashim asher lahem hariv lefnei Hashem, that the two litigants must stand before Hashem, before the court. On the other hand, the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed says that a Talmud Chacham may sit down when he's standing before the court, meaning that there are exceptions to the rule of Amdu Shnei HaAnashim. And the question is whether we can learn from the Gemara over there that a melech is also an exception to the rule. Just as a Talmud Chacham may sit down in front of the court, a melech too may sit down in front of the court. And there are four basic approaches to explaining what seems to be a tension between the position of Shimon ben Shetach and the Gemara in Shavuos. The first approach is to say essentially Shimon ben Shetach was wrong, that King Yanai was entitled to sit down. Shimon ben Shetach made a mistake. This approach is adapted by the Chidushei Haran. That's one approach. A second approach is to say that there's a fundamental difference between the case in our Gemara by Shimon ben Shetach and the Gemara in Shavuos. And that is explained in one of two ways. First, Tosfos in Maseches Shavuos suggests that perhaps our Gemara is talking about capital cases where we make exceptions neither for Talmidei Chachamim nor for kings, and the Gemara in Shavuos is talking about monetary cases where we make exceptions both for Talmidei Chachamim and for kings. Essentially, this speaks about one of the differences between capital cases and monetary cases, a topic which the Gemara will elaborate on at length in later prakim. Conceptually, in terms of the relationship between kavod of a melech and kavod of a Talmud Chacham, this is the same as a previous approach. Just as the Chidushei Haran was willing to say that kavod of a melech is the same as kavod of a Talmud Chacham, and a melech like a Talmud Chacham may sit down in front of the court, Tosfos too says, by dini mamonis, a melech like a Talmud Chacham may sit, and by dini nefashos, a Talmud Chacham like a melech must stand. The third approach offered by Chidushei Haran is more innovative in terms of its understanding of the relationship between kavod ha-melech and kavod Talmud Chacham. The Chidushei Haran explains as follows. As the pasuk says, lo saguru mipnei ish, that Beis Din has a prohibition against being afraid, that acting in a way that demonstrates and conveys a message that we are fearful of a man, that we have ema, yira, mora of a man. Therefore, the Beis Din was not permitted to let King Yanai sit, because that would be conveying that they were afraid of King Yanai, who after all, despite being a monarch, was only a human. However, when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim, says Chidushei Haran, we're operating on a totally different plane. The mitzvah to give honor and fear to a Talmid Chacham is not to fear the human being who possesses Torah knowledge. The mitzvah of honoring and fearing Talmidei Chachamim is to display honor for and fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave the Torah. And because of that, when the Beis Din lets a king sit, they're transgressing Lo Saguru Mipnei Ish. They're demonstrating fear of a human. But when the Beis Din lets a Talmid Chacham sit down, they're not transgressing Lo Saguru Mipnei Ish. Because the fear that they are demonstrating is not fear, not awe of a human being, but rather it is awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not an Ish. So again, Tosfos distinguished between the two Gemaras in terms of Dini Mamonis and Dini Nefashos, monetary versus capital cases, whereas the Chidushe Haran is differentiating between our Gemara, which is talking about Emas HaMelech, which, despite being an Ema, which the Torah commands us to possess, is still fear of a man, awe of a man, whereas the Gemara in Shavuos is talking about Emas Chachamim, awe of Talmidei Chachamim, which is no longer awe of a man, but it's awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose Torah is contained within the Talmid Chacham. This obviously is making a hanacha, it's making an assumption about the nature of Mora Chachamim, which is actually machlokes amongst various sugyos. Just say one or two, maybe in afkaminas, very quickly. One of them is the Shita, the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav says that a Talmid Chacham is not permitted to be mochel on his kavod. According, this is a Briska Rav's interpretation of the Rambam. And one might explain that the reason for this is because Talmid Chacham is not the owner of his kavod. His kavod is directly from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we paskin that Talmid Chacham is permitted to be mochel on his kavod. L'chora, the Briska Rav says, b'shein Shulchan Aruch, that Talmid Chacham may be mochel on his kavod. And that being the case, perhaps one might suggest that the kavod which goes to a Talmid Chacham is going directly to him and not to anybody else. There's other nafkaminas from this this shaila as well. The Ran is taking a position that any disrespect or awe that we show for a Chacham is not considered awe of the Chacham, but rather it's considered awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are other positions about that as well. The Ran offers a fourth answer. So far we've seen three different answers. Number one, that Shimon Meshetach would made a mistake, and that in all circumstances a king and a Talmid Chacham may sit down. The second answer was from Tosfos, that by Dini Nefashos they can never sit down, and by Dini Mamonis they can always sit down. The third answer was again from Chidushi Haran, that by a melech is forbidden from sitting down and a Talmid Chacham is permitted to sit down. The fourth answer given by Chidushi Haran is a bit more nuanced. He points out that under ordinary circumstances, both a melech and a Kohen Gadol would be permitted to sit down. However, in this case, because of King Yanai's impetuosity, he came and sat down without being asked to do so. So therefore, Shimon ben Shetach felt that in order that no negative precedent should be established, in order that nobody should think that sitting or standing is only an option, it was necessary to bring King Yanai into line. And for that reason, he demanded that King Yanai sit down, even though under ordinary circumstances, a melech is not obligated to stand up. But Shimon ben Shetach felt that in order that no negative precedent should be established, then King Yanai must stand up. And I thought maybe you could understand that pshat here is that the Torah says, Lo Sagurim Epnei Ish. Clearly, that was what the Chidush Haran said earlier. And yet, over here, under ordinary circumstances, we're not concerned about Lo Sagurim Epnei Ish. We're not worried about based in demonstrating their fear of a man, even of a king. And although one might explain it that mora, that awe of a king, is also not considered fear of an ish. It's considered fear maybe of Klal Yisrael, or maybe fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whom the king to some extent represents. But one might explain it also that the Isser is lo sagurum ipnei ish, that if Beis Din offers a litigant, he said, the Beis Din says, you may sit down if you wish, that's not considered displaying fear of a person, because displaying fear has to be a response to some sort of an aggressive and belligerent gesture. And over here, if Beis Din spontaneously offers the king and the chacham as they are supposed to, based and spontaneously offers them the opportunity to sit down, that's not considered being in fear of the chacham or of the king. However, if the king seizes the opportunity before he's being offered by Beis Din and impetuously sits down, that is a gesture which is meant to cow the Beis Din. It's meant to challenge the Beis Din. And under such circumstances, when Beis Din is challenged by a litigant, then the obligation of lo sagurum ipnei ish springs into place. It springs into place, and therefore they're obligated to demonstrate that, no, we're not afraid of you, we're not going to take your chutzpah, and therefore, dafka, because of that, Shimon ben Shattach made King Yanai stand up. Because only when, because of King Yanai's impetuosity, that triggered the obligation of lo sagur mipnei ish. And this leads us to the last point that I want to mention, which from the Chidushi Haran. The Chidushi Haran says, seems to be go back and forth about what the reason is that the litigants are obligated to stand up. He says it's possible that this is a mitzvah, the araisa, that the Torah said that the way in which a court should be structured is that the litigants stand and that the judges sit. However, the Ran says it could be that there's another reason. The reason that the litigants must stand is in order to give kavod, it's in order to give respect an honor to the dayanim, to the judges, to the court as a whole. And therefore, just like many other mitzvos of kavod, which we'll discuss, a melech can't be mochel, a nasi is machlokas if he can be mochel, a father can be mochel, a rabbi can be mochel, a chacham, it's machlokas if he can be mochel. So a judge, says the Ran, is permitted to be mochel on his kavod. And that's why, when it comes to a talmid chacham, the judges are allowed to let the chacham sit down, because this is basically, the Torah says that they're supposed to utilize their ability to be mochel on their kavod in order for to allow the chacham to sit down. So the Chidushi Aran says, based on that, that would explain why they also are permitted to let a melech sit down, because the whole reason why litigants must stand is to give them kavod, not because of lo saguru mipnei ish. They're allowed to allow the litigants to sit down unless the litigants are belligerent. And again, the other, so this tzad would be to say that the litigants standing up is only for kavod of the dayanim. The other tzad would be to say, no, litigants must stand because that's the structure of a court case, that there must be a clear delineation between the litigants and the judges. There must be a sense that there's a judge and the judges, and even the judges have no right to abrogate, to be mochel on that, unless there's another mitzvah which overrides this mitzvah of structuring court cases in a certain way, such as the mitzvah of kavod chachamim. So again, just to mention the main points, the three main points that emerge from this Ran. Number one is a question about whether we can differentiate and say that a talmid chacham is given more leeway to sit down by the court than a melech. That's a machlokas between Tosfos and the Chidushi Ran. Then the second question is whether the mitzvah of lo sagurum ipnei ish applies only when the litigant acts belligerently and aggressively, or whether it applies under all circumstances, that based on giving a favor to a litigant is also considered being afraid of him, even though the litigant made no aggressive gesture. And the third important machlokes is whether the mitzvah of the amdu shnei ha'anashim, of having the litigant stand up, is a matter of structuring the court case, which the dayanim have no right to be mochel on, but only can be pushed aside by a greater mitzvah, or whether, no, the whole reason that the litigants have to stand is to give kavod to the dayanim, and therefore the dayanim are permitted to be mochel.